All right, let's start this train.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
My God, there it is again. It's the Jimmy Doan Show. Happy anniversary, 9/11.
Some people call it live.
Live with Jimmy. That's right, the podcast. This is the podcast. This is little Jimmy Smith there. Got his rugelade up.
He's got a rugelade.
This is the one. This is the good one. This is good. We have a good show today.
It's a hell of a gal, a great guest cast here.
Great guest cast today. Everybody, we have a good crowd here today.
Big crowd.
Big crowd. Everybody's going to get to say something about the same thing, just about the same thing we said last week. We tried to get a show in the middle of the week, couldn't get everybody together. But we got Jack Rhodes here again.
Jack Rhodes, good to be back. Good to be back.
Good to see you, Jack.
Yeah.
Curtis.
Hey,
Curtis. EJ.
Always happy to be here.
Always
Jimmy
happy.
Doan.
Okay, we're gonna edit out some of EJ's mouth this time.
Freaking A, man.
That's right. Oh, freaking A. I love it.
That's
you didn't give me a chance to get it all out of my system.
Fudge! Okay. And, well, you're the Fudge King. That's right. And our engineer.
Hey,
Eric. Okay, good deal. Well, here it is, the anniversary of 9/11.
4 years.
4 years to the day. Interesting. It's interesting, of course, that the headlines are trying to hog the difference between trying to tell similarities, I guess.
All right, between New Orleans and...
And New Orleans and New York, both beginning with N. There's both beginning with new. There the similarity ends. But it's interesting.
Right.
That's
I heard it was the Russians that were responsible for the hurricane.
No, it's the guy. It's a grassy knoll, I think. Is, no,
there was definitely some grass involved in it. I'm sure.
That's right. Well, anyway, we're going to talk today mostly about the still in the news, the hurricane Katrina is still in the news, and we want to talk about that.
And Ophelia, who dodged us.
Oh, Ophelia, but I heard she was going to do a loop-de-loop.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Ophelia. There's
another storm coming.
Yeah, well, that'll be for next week, I suppose. Although Jimmy won't be here next week.
Oh.
Jimmy's taking a drive.
Are you going to New York?
Yes, Jimmy's going to drive to New York.
We can have your house?
Ew. <that's, laughs> that could hurt.
Toga. Podcast. We'll record.
That's right.
You can do a remote, you know?
That's right. Well, we do have the ability now.
That's right.
So what are you going to New York for?
Taking grandma.
Blow something else up?
93. Yeah, no, not going to do that. We don't say that on the air. We're driving to New York, actually, with a 93-year-old mother-in-law and the wife. Mrs. Doan, that's right. Mrs. Jimmy Doan. And that will be interesting because I've got these two ladies that both tell me what to do, but it's not the same thing.
What about Mrs. Doan's sisters in Earthquake Go?
Unfortunately, Mrs. Doan's sister is still in California.
Ah.
As we speak. So anyway, these...
You're doomed.
Doomed.
So I'm picturing something between Driving Miss Daisy and National Lampoon Vacation.
And the other picture was Charlie Sheen where he coming home or whatever, he's just shooting everybody on his way.
Well, there's... You know. I was going to take a gun for protection, but I have a feeling that it's going to be used on me.
Yeah, right.
The only thing that I insist on in life is having a gun with just one bullet in it. That's all I care about. Saving that bullet for myself.
This is going to be an extra good show since we won't be here next week.
That's right. Well, unless we call in or something. So anyway, we're going to talk about Katrina, obviously, FEMA, failures, I don't know, blame games still. We need to talk some more about that. Is the race card still being played? What's actually happening?
Jesse Jackson cannot give up the race card.
No, well, we know that.
So that's being played constantly.
Constantly.
Anybody that will listen to him.
It's interesting when you consider that the deck is all black. I mean, how do you play?
All diamonds and clubs, baby.
Well,
spades, I guess. I didn't want to say it because that's racial. See? Black diamonds.
Well, fortunately, that's right. Black diamonds. We can talk a little bit about that. And what is happening in the rebuild? Is there any money there? Where is it coming from? And who's doing what? We can talk a little bit about that. So the first thing I noticed today, this is September 11th, of course, they're trying to draw the parallels in much the same way that they try and draw the parallels between Vietnam and Iraq, which there are none except the fact that soldiers are involved.
I love Vietnam.
People are shooting guns.
That's right. So,
and Americans are getting killed. Come on, let's...
Well, they are, but certainly not in
Not by... Can you say that?
Yes, you can say
that. You can't see that.
Yes, you can.
But it's going to be edited out.
But when you consider the quantity of people, they're not even 2,000 Americans supposedly dead yet at this point, Americans. And in Vietnam in 7 years, there was 58,000. Somebody figured out that this war would have to go on for 73 years at this rate, which it may very well. But, you know, the war on terror, they've left no end to it, so it may go on for 73 years. But the point is, it's at roughly one-tenth the volume of the Vietnamese.
They're always going to make those parallels.
They're always. They
because
do.
That's what they have. That's what their file photos are of. So
that's right. Well, the parallel I always like to make, or the anti-parallel, is because one of the people that is always spouting off is our friend Ted Kennedy, Senator Kennedy,
he's my favorite.
Who, of course, did quite a few tours in Vietnam, as I'm told.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
As a cocktail shaker.
Right. Well, I thought it was
canteen.
But I thought it's interesting, of course, that he's profiled so well on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And in case you're interested, but no, as somebody said, more people were killed at Chappaquiddick than at Three Mile Island. And
by a Kennedy.
That's right. Well, you didn't have to say that, but I mean, when you talk about the differences, the perspective, a lot of people talking about the deaths, and you don't really, when you realize that there are over 40,000 deaths on the highways every year. I mean, more people die, you know, drowning in a bathtub. I was reading this book this week called Freakonomics, which is it's an okay book. It's not great. I might do a review on it, but a lot of it has to do with perspectives. Would you rather have your child go play at a house where there's guns, or would you rather have your child go over and play at a house where there's a swimming pool?
Personally, I'd rather play with the guns.
I know you would, but and you're a child.
Both dangerous situations, but.
It turns out you're 100 times more likely to die from the swimming pool than the gun.
So, of course. Got to go with the odds.
See? You don't, of course, but then people don't. It has to do, there's a lot of things involved. Anyway, the book talks about that. But my point is that that a lot of this has to do with the perspective. So to come back, they're trying to make a parallel between 9/11, which it is today, of course, but the original 9/11 4 years ago, and Katrina. And there are almost no parallels, it seems to me. I mean, other than the fact that they were disaster.
Well, yeah, I think that's what they're talking about. Is just simply there's going to be, for any disaster of that type or a terrorist attack, there's going to be a recovery, a rescue effort, and a cleanup effort.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to compare. Is they're saying, well, after 9/11, we consolidate all these agencies and try to build them up so that if this kind of thing happened in the future, they could deal with it in an organized way. And apparently, that didn't happen.
Well, apparently, as happens sometimes in the past, I know this sound may come as a shock to our listeners, but sometimes a government solution is the problem. And it seems to me that FEMA and the coordination, what you find is that a lot of people did a lot of talking, they had a lot of meetings, and they went through a lot of procedures, but when it comes time to act, nothing happened.
They didn't want to get out of the comfortable chopper.
Well, it wasn't that. It turns out that a lot of the people that were the high muckety mucks in this were political appointees. This is nothing new. When you think about the apparatchiks, for instance, in the old Russia, a lot of those people, they would say, for instance, on the KGB guy that was always with some particular regiment. It turns out his dad was a high muckety muck in the Politburo or something, and these were all political appointees. Well, it turns out that a lot of the people that were supposed to be running the show with FEMA and the rescue effort were political. They had no experience. And this was actually well known. It turns out that a lot of the people that had previously been involved in FEMA complained bitterly that the people that were coming in to be appointed as overseers were, you know, polo players or, you know, from they were from West Palm Beach party people or something. And they
didn't. Figureheads.
Brownie was George Bush's, who was he? It was somebody's roommate in college.
There was roommates. Perfect. Now, they did have some experience in raising money for campaigns. Big deal.
That's important.
Well, it is.
Because somebody has to pay for this mess.
Or they don't. But the point is that the a lot of the fingers are being pointed, and mistakes, obviously, in something are of this gargantuan are going to be made. But to try and make the parallels here, I think it stretches. The people really stretch to try and make the parallels. When you think about the here are the non-parallels. 9/11 was, first of all, it happened instantaneously. Nobody knew it was going to happen. It was, however, confined to a relatively small area after the smoke cleared. You could still get there. You could still actually get there. The roads leading there were not destroyed.
Jack Rhodes actually saw the plane hit.
You did?
No, I saw the second tower come.
The second tower fall.
Oh, you were there then?
I was there.
Oh, wow. Well, that's...
He says to me, I was on the phone with him, and he says, thousands of people just died.
Yeah. Ooh, that's... Yeah, well, it's... And so you could still get there, and interestingly enough, most of the rescue was coordinated locally. It was the New York City people. That was the key. The feds were not involved in that. Sure, George Bush showed up a couple days later and stood on the thing and says, we'll help, and so forth and so on. But basically, it was the local people that banded together and did the thing because they could get there. And that's the way, of course, anything like this is supposed to be done. Well,
although the federal government did dispatch all of the fighter planes pretty quickly, so that obviously was
the fighter planes.
Right, there were fighter planes. Right, there were fighter planes within minutes of the...
But still, I'm talking about the saving of the people that are there on the ground and the rebuilding part.
Right,
that was done locally. Other than the fact that the money, there's some federal money that's involved, which, of course, there's a big fight about that, too.
Why Red Cross and all that.
No, not the Red Cross. That's not federal money. That's private money. Right. No, there's some federal money, believe it or not, that's involved in paying off the survivors. And that's being dispersed. There's local people that are handling the dispersal, but there is federal money. My point is that as far as the National Guard, there was no National Guard there. Right. It was all local. But it was fairly localized. Now, here we have a storm that was 200 miles across, covered three states. The thing about it, of course, is that it was well known for 4 or 5 days in advance that there was going to be a problem someplace.
Right. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's still coming.
It was no surprise.
Here it comes.
If it had not overwhelmed the levees and dikes, then it would have been much less of a catastrophe.
That's true. That's right. It would have been. But the scenario for the catastrophe was well known. It's interesting to see some of the stuff that leaks into the mainstream media from the blogs and from people like ourselves, for instance. Yeah, some of those people are admitting that class actually matters.
Well, you got to figure the poor people are always going to suffer in a disaster like that. That's the definition of being poor, is you don't have the resources.
By definition, I think that's the key. You hit the nail on the head. By definition... If you're poor, you have no money.
Right.
I think we can safely make that statement. And if you have no money, you have no way. It doesn't matter what. They could have been 100% white, and it still would have been poor. You're right. You're exactly correct about that. But and of course, then the people come up and say, "Well, we as a society." Whenever I hear that, I get nervous because who is we as a society?
That's not me.
Not me. Well, can I opt out of this one?
Right. Well, and there were quote unquote white people there. We saw them. Certainly, they were the minority.
There was at least three.
Well, there were not only
that one old lady in the wheelchair.
Well, the thing about it, when you realize
you
have
dead.
The 24-hour news cycle, and you have to ask yourself, if it bleeds, it leads. So when you fly your news helicopter over, first of all, you're going to want your news helicopter near some gas station so it can gas
I want
up.
A news helicopter.
Pardon?
He wants a new...
Yeah, yeah, you want
the
one, right?
The Jimmy Doan.
But the point is, you're
Jimmy
not...
Jimmy Doan chopper, man.
That's right. We need the JD. JD chopper.
If any of our listeners want to donate a chopper, God, please, for Christ's sake,
Jimmy
donate it, man.
Jimmy Doan.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the point is that remember now, this storm was 200 miles wide. It cut through... It devastated a lot of smaller communities where the population was, 100, 200, 1,200. Well, the helicopters don't fly over there to take a picture because, first of all, too far out of the way.
Yeah.
But a lot of those are white people.
Right.
And, of course,
farmers.
Haley Barbour's place, his third home, fifth home, whatever it was, got his vacation home got destroyed. Or Trent Lott, I guess.
Trent Lott.
Yeah,
right.
His 15th home, $20 million. It's not like he's not homeless.
He had insurance.
Well, of course, that's
he's going to apply for a little grant anyway. So
well, he can take some money out of the Washington till. So anyway, the point is that these people are. It is interesting. I heard this morning, for instance, and we might even have a cut from this. The on one of the shows, several the liberally people, if we want to call them that. I hate to label people, but they are desperately trying to make sure that the feds get all of the blame. When, as we just discussed, it's got to be a local thing. Anyway, this is the people on the ground.
I was surprised that nobody's been talking about the public effort of rescue.
Which was substantial.
Well, you would think, I would think, if I was Negan, I would have said, everybody who's got a boat, get in your boat and come pick somebody up.
Right. Yeah. I saw Harry Connick Jr. doing it. He went in the boat. Did you see that the other day?
Well, it's interesting because it's like Dunkirk. You know, when they evacuated the 400,000 British troops right at the beginning of the Second World War, they sent every rowboat they could get from England over to Dunkirk, and they were trawlers and everything, barges, everything in the world was taking those soldiers off the shore.
That's what I would have thought that would have happened if they hadn't had so much emphasis on a central rescue.
Right.
Everybody's focused on this idea that the federal government is going to swoop in and with one big plane. If just one guy would make the decision, the central authority...
Well, there was a lack of a central command at all to begin with. What happens when you have a lack like that is there's overlapping. You have too many bosses. And people were being told different things from different people that were, quote, their boss. So what do? You do nothing. I mean, inaction. Once you're told to do three different things, you do nothing.
And so what happens is a vacuum develops, and then you have people who are standing by waiting for something to happen, doing it themselves, which is what you were talking about, Curtis. You get, you know, everybody gets a boat and goes helps a fellow man. No, everybody gets a gun and goes and helps himself in New Orleans, or at least that's what it looked like to me. Well, I could be wrong, but...
No. There was a breakdown. There was a breakdown of civility and law and order in
New Orleans. Well, I think a lot of those people that were affected, too, were people that are used to turning to the government for help. They are used to receiving entitlements, and they felt they were entitled to food stamps and a Huey helicopter ride out of New Orleans when the water came in.
And of course, unfortunately, you can't eat the food stamps. Man, well, as far as I'm concerned, I would have showered him in food stamps. It's the food.
But everybody, they're all screaming, help, help, how about help yourself?
Did you see them? They wanted a wave to be on TV when they were looting. They were looting, and they're like going, "I'm on TV." Hey.
That's gonna be at the trial. You can bet.
Well, remember that they weren't looting; they were retrieving supplies.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Right.
I meant that
they were retrieving supplies.
Yeah, they were African American.
Yeah. I'm Kanye, baby, Kanye.
Yeah. Retrieving. So, right. We're retrieving.
But I do.
Not all of them were African American.
Exactly. No. 46-inch. Flat screen, excuse me. But I dropped the 27-inch when I saw the 46 flat.
In the beginning, and as we've seen it now, it's been, what, 10 days or something since it...
Well, today's the 11th. No, it was August 25th or something. It was the 28th, so it's been 2 weeks.
28th was Sunday, 29th was Monday.
So it's coming out, but I see a pattern, that's being created as far as feeling they're entitled to this help. They're entitled to a $2,000 Visa card.
Yeah.
And then I heard a man say, that ain't enough. I got 8 kids. I need $10,000.
Well,
and I thought, why don't you get
kids?
A job? You
why'd
know,
you
I
have mean, eight kids?
I'm not supposed to feed your kids. Yeah. Well, I can barely feed myself.
Yeah, that's
the time limit on rebuilding New Orleans is going to exceed their holdout period. So,
well, I think
they're already going to be displaced and getting jobs in other cities. Period.
No question about
it.
No,
they're going to be sitting there waiting for their monthly, first of all, entitlement check, secondly, food stamps, and then this third thing from the hurricane. You know, they're not going to get a job if they don't have to. They're going to continue to suck the giant teat that is the government.
Well, that's...
Unless the government doesn't give them any teat.
Oh, and that's going to happen.
Well, the government's already giving them it. They'll be ready for Mardi Gras. I guarantee you, they'll be drunk for Mardi Gras.
Well, no doubt.
I want another Cat 5 to hit.
And then Jazz, and then
Mardi Gras.
And then Jazz Fest right after.
French Quarter, of course, wasn't that badly hit. I mean, they're opening up now, and there are people doing business in the French Quarter. You can go down there and buy a beer, even though there's a curfew at 6 o'clock.
Right.
But you can go down there and get some food, which, of course, I'm a little worried about the mystery meat. Or what did you call it? What's in the gumbo these days?
Right. And besides that, the water is not it's not clean yet, and so they have to wash their dishes with something.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little cleaner than, you know,
right.
20,000 parts per billion, you know, that it is now.
There's a bad meat.
No, that, yeah, there's a body floating.
Well, they obviously they
in
want
the lobster tank. There's still a body in there.
There's a body.
Wait for
Mount
the big
Gumbel.
One.
But some of the taverns are opening to sell beer, which of course I guess some of those people have to be a little looped to stay there. But I noticed that the free enterprise system has taken hold, in that one of the big things is the RFQ T-shirt, which is for Rebuild the French Quarter. Somebody's making some money on the T-shirts.
All right.
We're going to have to come up with the Jimmy Doan T-shirt, of course.
What do you think about the people, the holdouts?
The holdouts. That was another item.
They're taking off out of there.
Well, but there were a substantial number of people. Interestingly, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal that I didn't realize this, but there is a higher point of New Orleans. It's actually near the Mississippi River that didn't flood. And that's where the rich people live. The white rich people live. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And they stayed. A lot of them stayed. And they fired up their generators. And they had their...
Well, that's what I've...
They had
noticed.
Their own helicopters fly in their own water. And they were staying there because they didn't want to get looted.
Right.
And they're gated communities.
Well, yeah, that's my point about the people who are still there now. You know, they say they're going to try to force them out. Some I've heard that they're going to stop giving them water and MREs and stuff or physically remove them. But I got to figure, hey, it's private property. If they want to stay, if you want to stay in your flooded house,
go for it.
Well, this has to do with, also I think has to do with what they call the rules of engagement. I don't think anybody understands what the rules of engagement are. That is, if you're forcing somebody at gunpoint, it means you're willing to shoot them. And I don't think anybody's willing to shoot anybody to get them out of there. I mean, if somebody is willing to stay there, quote, at the point of a gun, again, I don't believe that you should point a gun at anybody unless you are willing to pull the trigger. You don't bluff, in other words, because otherwise it means nothing.
Right.
So at the point of a gun means I'm going to pull the trigger unless you go. And I don't believe that that's in the rules. I don't believe that they would shoot anybody if they absolutely
refused. I can't believe
to.
They'd be shooting these victim people. You know,
they're just not going to do it. So when you hear somebody say they're removing them at the point of a gun, that's BS. That is not true, because the people know that they're not going to get shot. It's that simple. There are people that just are going to stay. There are people that have lived there. They're 80 years old. They showed this lady, 86 years old or whatever. She wasn't going. What are you going to do? And then there's another one that was 86 years old. They, you know, in a walker or something, and they got her or him or whoever it was out. But what's interesting is to watch them on the film, on the video, banging down the doors. So we hear somebody that's actually locked their door and sealed themselves inside so they don't have to be taken, and then the guard comes along at, quote, at the point of a gun, although not really, and beats and ruins your
kicks
front.
Kicks your door in.
Kicks the door in. Now,
right.
you're not secure anymore. Right. And, of course, it's not, Home Depot's not open, so it's not like you're going to go fix it. So
hey, you just go pick one out of the water.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's
you're
right.
You're going to take your neighbor's.
Your neighbor's gone.
That's right.
I mean, it's about the same
well,
size.
Well, pile up a couple of bodies in front of it or something like that. The point is that now they're talking, of course, about the rebuild, and they've already allocated $60 billion. And of course, the money, there has to be a delivery system, and this has to do with the difference again between New York and New Orleans, and that is the delivery system. When you think about all roads leading to New Orleans, I think there's one road based one.
Yeah, it's called the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, yeah.
I-10.
I-10's down.
Yeah. Well, I know down. Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to go through Baton Rouge, which, of course, has doubled in population, and people are a little nervous about that. It is now Louisiana's biggest city. Right. I mean, when it doubled virtually overnight. So the rebuild effort, the question is, and I think that, Curtis, you brought this up, is the question is, how's it going to be done? Who's going to do it? And for somebody to think that they're going to organize or coordinate this is going to create more problems. Absolutely.
Well, we have somebody's quote on that.
Cue that.
I guess. What conservatives tell you always is we are always going to overestimate what government can know and what government can control. And the last thing we need now is a rebuild New Orleans czar to come in and make grand mistakes on a scale that only government can make them.
Did Jimmy hit it on the head or what?
George will. My God, well, you know, it's people steal from me all the time. What can I tell you? But it's but it's interesting because he brings up a point. He brings up a point that other people have brought up, and that is, Yeah, thank. Laugh.
Get those girls out of here. girls.
They're just chicks, man.
Yeah, exactly. Laugh it up. This brings up another corollary point. Have you noticed that they imported 25,000 body bags? They said there's going to be 10,000 people dead. They're going to and they're going to take months, if not 2 or 3 months, to drain New Orleans. Okay, now it turns out they don't even know how many people are dead, but it ain't no 10,000.
Well, they're getting there. It's 383.
Yeah, exactly. That's number one. Number
that's
two,
in two states.
Number two, and number two, the draining of New Orleans has been suddenly. Now this is exactly 14 days after the announcement that it was going to take 2 months. Is now down to 1 month.
Yeah, I thought it was originally 3 months.
It's now 3 months. It's one month. Now it's 1 month. So it is.
Well, the wind is a tailwind. Yeah. So it's pushing
the water right. into the suction. Oh, right. Okay.
This
right.
is what Ophelia is going to swoop down around from the north
right.
and blow the water out.
That's exactly right. Well, it's a classic example of the press just blowing things out of proportion. It made for great TV for 2 days to save thousands of people dead.
Exactly. It takes 6 months to drain
thousands
the water.
That's right.
In 14 years.
Yeah,
Bourbon Street will be open again.
That's right. Total unmitigated destruction. And of course,
cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, when the helicopters fly over, they try and, if it bleeds, it leads. They try and find the worst that they can, and they overlook the people that are actually helping out because it doesn't make for good show.
Yeah, I saw one clip where this guy's standing in about waist deep water, and he says, "Then you're standing here in waist deep water," and they end his clip, and he takes about 10 paces and walks out of the water.
You're kidding?
No.
Oh my God, that is funny.
No,
that's
I loved it. Geraldo Rivera helped some old woman get her 90-year-old woman get her 40-year-old dog back, and they were showing the ending clip of the scene was the dog right at Geraldo's feet, and he's down on his knees like, "Come on, dog." And the dog's like, no. And he's grabbing the dog by the scruff of the neck. He's like, "Come on, dog. Shoot the kill. Smile."
Smile, dog. Yeah, right. Is that a smiling dog?
That was Geraldo. You can see the veins bulging in his arm as he's trying to pull the dog to him. "Come on, little doggy."
So they're screaming 25,000 dead, thousand, everybody dead, years to rebuild. Of course, probably in an attempt to get more money.
Give them a Mardi Gras.
That's right.
And now,
poor me.
If you really think about it, with American Red Cross, Salvation Army, all these concerts, everybody giving $3 at your fire station, all that, they're going to have enough money to really build a good New Orleans.
Well, of course, again,
just 20
one of
miles
the,
north.
They got
they're certainly going to have a better New Orleans than they had.
I like that guy's idea. Disney-lians, you know?
Disney-lians.
New Leans.
Oh, Disney-lians, right. It's the New Orleans.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure about that. But again, the private sector can do it. Will do it faster and better. There's no question about it. Command and control is going to get it wrong. And, of course, when they do get it wrong, whose fault is it? Nobody's fault at all. So,
when the next Cat 5 comes through, they're going to say, "Well, who decided to?"
And nobody will have decided. That's exactly right. Because governments always use the passive voice. It was decided.
It was decided. By staff.
By staff, right. And, of course, staff still collects their pension.
That's right.
They have no problem about that.
Well, I'm sure that eventually down the road, too, we will see, just like we did with 9/11, all of this money that they are raising. You know, who's keeping track of all of that?
Well,
who's making sure that all of that doesn't go to, help another needy cause?
I think that was my job.
Yeah.
Well, you better get on that.
Well, New Orleans,
because
in a year's time, when
everybody doesn't have their insurance check paid off, they're going to be screaming that we were neglected.
And that's going to happen.
I agree.
But I think it's interesting. You brought up the point that here we are talking about months and months to drain, years and years to rebuild, and of course your thing, Jimmy Dunn will be there when it happens. Of course, is that Mardi Gras will come off as advertised?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would bet $100 on it. If anybody out there wants to bet, take a $100 bet.
10-1, Jack Rose doing Mardi Gras.
Right.
$100.
I predict Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest will go off this year, and probably
bigger and better than ever.
Yeah.
Everybody
support
New Orleens. Got to come down there and spend your money. Buy some liquor, throw some beads.
The water, as dirty as it was, probably managed to wipe out a lot of the crap that was there.
Well, yeah, it needed a good washing.
That's right. Well, think about Louisiana. Louisiana is renowned for its corruption.
I think it can be called Louisiana.
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 That's right. That's what they do. Speaking of that, I wonder, is it New Orleans? Is it New Orleans? New Orleans?
Nolens.
Nolens. Okay.
N-A-W-L-I-N-S.
That's right. But Louisiana is well known. It is revered in many circles for the amount of corruption. So don't be surprised if a lot of that money disappears.
No.
So today, on the anniversary of 9/11, there's a new terror tape.
There's what?
There's a new one released. A new terror tape. Wow. You guys didn't see it?
No. I did not know this.
Yep. Of course, the guy's like, he's an American.
What?
He's an American. He's got the turban
Jimmy
on.
Does not know.
He's got the turban on and he's got everything wrapped up, but when he speaks, he sounds like an American.
Like, well, from Boston or something.
We're going to get you
now,
guys.
Now, this is the second take from this guy or something, right?
I thought I might have recognized him from before.
I think we've seen one before from this guy.
So now this is an audio or video?
It's a video.
Okay, obviously he's got a turban on. Hello.
Yeah. All right.
it's a loud audio turban. Tape and he's got a turban.
It's a loud turban, so you heard it over there.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah,
and he says they're going to get Los Angeles and Melbourne,
Australia,
Melbourne,
or Melbourne, Florida.
No, Australia.
Melbourne, Florida.
Like, I was going to say,
who
what
cares?
The hell? He's from Melbourne. If that's his plan,
I mean, is that like a turban dude, man? Why,
we will hit them in the small towns of America.
We'll kill them
by the tens.
Kill them by the tens.
Show them nobody is safe.
That's right.
So, do we have a clip of this tape or not?
No, no,
what,
we don't.
What did he say?
No, I could have brought it. But
what did he say?
He said,
as Jimmy Dillon, we're always
hold
going
on to your
step.
Shorts.
That's right.
Yeah, he said, hold on to your shorts. There's going to be new attacks, and it's going to be L.A. and Melbourne.
And the attack. And did he mention
how train, automobile?
They're going to release 10,000 rodents.
Oh,
no, they're going to.
What, he's going to set off a box of
locust swarm.
Is he going to, you know, light off a bunch of black cat firecrackers?
Little ladyfingers. They don't have the black cats over there.
Swallows of Capistrano or whatever. Right?
That's right. We'll loose the hounds.
So when did this come out? Just
today. Today. They played it today. Oh. And
it's not a hoax. It's not a joke. I mean,
nope. No, they had the real guy. Boy, if it's a hoax, he's going down for it anyway. Let me tell you. You dress up.
So who played the video? Where did he send it?
Did he go to Al Jazeera?
It was on Meet the Press or something.
He sent it to Meet the Press?
I don't know if he sent it to him.
I mean, it wasn't Al Jazeera. Or was it?
No, I don't think so.
Sent it to the New York Times? Probably. You know,
that's what I'm guessing.
He dropped it off at the New York Times.
Yeah, dropped it off.
I would like this on the 6 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. Watch this and see what you think. I got to run.
You know, and of course, this actually brings up another point, though, and that is this news? I mean, why on Meet the Press of all things? I mean, playing it on this kind of thing. To me, first of all, you wonder. So, what are you going to do if you're in Los Angeles? There's what 3 million people in LA, greater LA area, or something like that. At least that. And so, what do? Hunker down for how long?
Well, LA is pretty big.
It's huge,
sprawling,
of course. And not only that, it's got. I mean, you could set off a bomb in very. I mean, a significant bomb.
Big bomb.
Like down in Compton or something.
Well, I mean, you know,
do us a favor, do in the valley.
What are they calling this?
Jimmy, don't keep launching those things.
At Central City, or what is it called? Something Universal City? Where were you?
Universal City.
Eric, where were you doing your temp work when I picked you up down there in L.A.? That was
what? That was Star Temps in Beverly Hills.
No. What was the name of those? Where were we in those buildings that were down there? The buildings. It's called something City.
City Walks.
Oh,
Central City.
Oh, shut up, man. It's Central City.
Well, thanks a lot.
That's a club here.
Whatever.
Another edit.
Another edit. Right. Thanks a lot for that. Anyway, it's one of the areas. But my point is, you could set the bomb off there. And remember now, there's the valley and the hills and everything. I mean, a lot of people get hurt, but a lot of people wouldn't.
Right.
So my point is, here's a guy who says, we're going to get you in L.A. He might as well say, we're going to get you in the world.
Right.
I mean, so.
Somewhere on Earth.
Somewhere on this planet, we're going to get you.
I can't believe he would actually say it's going to, you know, he's giving away the location. And
that's
Melbourne.
That's not giving it away.
You don't think so?
You know, L.A. is so huge. I don't know how big Melbourne is. And of course, Why Melbourne?
I think LA almost goes to Jacksonville, doesn't it?
Because there's some really hot blonde chicks in Melbourne, and they don't wear burkas. I couldn't tell you.
Shrimp on the Barbie is
sacrilegious, right?
Yeah, that's
crustaceans
right.
on the Barbie being eaten by blonde chicks who don't wear much.
And the Australians are so active militarily worldwide.
Oh, yeah. They're stomping out fires all over the Middle East. I can see why they're pissing off those guys.
Well, you know, they did, of course. One of the original terrorist attacks was against Aussies in Malaysia or whatever. That it was that big...
Bali. Nightclub.
In Bali, that's right. And that was mostly Australia.
Bali. One of the kindest, coolest places on the planet.
Not anymore.
Blow it up. That's right. Well, that was one of the... I think there was an Al-Qaeda thing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It wasn't Tamil.
No, the Tamils are... That's the Indonesian.
Indonesian, but I mean, they're working together, man. They're hooking each other up with explosives and weapons and training. Pretty much. They're all Muslims trying to overthrow the government.
But anyway, my point is that I was wondering why this was news.
Well, I think it's just the anniversary of 9/11. It's the idea of where have we come since then?
What's next?
Yeah. You know...
Because we know it's only a matter of time.
And, well, you know the press plays into the hands of terrorists to begin with. So all they're doing is he's trying to cause fear. You know, this is the idea of terrorism. You know, you scare the crap out of your people.
No, that's right. That is.
So that's what he wants to do. And by them showing it, they're helping him out. But how often do they play into the hands of? I mean, they say more on the news about our troops' positionings in Iraq and Afghanistan than I would allow to go off. I don't know, by 90%.
Thanks, Geraldo.
I mean, my gosh, I'd be hauling these people before tribunals and trying them for treason. No problem. Without a doubt.
Good for you.
Sorry.
Speaking of that, of course, there was a lower court ruling, district court, federal ruling about holding an American citizen in America as a combatant without a trial, without...
Jose Padilla, yeah. He lost. They're allowed to hold him.
With nothing.
Yeah, virtually nothing. And that's, I mean, this is the Patriot Act in work.
Yeah, Patriot Act. Yeah, but it's because they said, without a doubt, of course, it's going right to the Supreme Court. I mean, there's no question about that. Of course, we don't know who's going to be on the Supreme Court yet. As for the ninth member, that'll be seven of them. No, there'll be... Eight, actually. I'm sure they're going to confirm.
You know, it might not be a bad idea to hold people as stupid as Jose Padilla, you know, that are going to broadcast their intention to do something deadly to other Americans on American soil. It might not be a bad idea. Sure, it goes against all that you gentle libertarians believe in, but come on, man. If you're that blatantly stupid, if you're going to run around saying, I'm going to kill as many people as I can, as soon as I can, and you get taken down by, like, Uncle Sam, I'm not going to stop him. I'm not going to hide you. I mean...
I see. Well, that's interesting. Amendment out the
window. If somebody starts running around on the street with a gun saying, I'm going to kill you and all you all... I mean, I'll be the first to shoot him.
There you go.
Yeah, well, look.
I mean, that's not
the government doing it.
Well, he's running around saying,
right?
He's going to happen.
Right.
So that's a big thing. I mean, I'm not saying one way either way.
Well, there's a standard in the law for attempted crimes. You have to take some substantial step. You can't just BS about it.
Going to an Al Qaeda class and learning how to make the bomb, I would imagine qualifies as a substantial step.
Well, that's what happened. They said he trained over
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I would take that as a substantial step. So he's not just saying it; he's acting on what he's saying.
Well, we don't need the Patriot Act to enforce those kinds of rules and laws.
I never suggested it was the Patriot Act that should have been, you know, called down upon this guy. I just said, you know, if he gets taken off the street and put behind bars for some period of time until they figure out what to do with him,
of course,
that's a bad idea.
Again, one of the things you have to worry about is this, the old slippery slope argument.
Sure.
And that is...
Well, that's where we come in. That's why we are armed, and we always must remain armed in case they start sliding too far down. There's enough of us with our own arms.
Yeah, well, there are.
Well, as we say, the right to bear arms was actually, for us to reprise against the government in case they decided to, like,
in case
do
they
stupid
slip.
Crap. Right, exactly.
But the idea is...
I thought that meant you could have a
short sleeve.
Short
sleeves, yes.
We were all...
Except for Curtis.
Edit that out.
Right. Surely you wouldn't want to be busted in Walmart for having vibrating pants.
Well, we...
Problem.
Another show. Another show. Previous show, folks.
Yeah.
The thing is this. It's easy to imagine that if there's a terrorist out there, we want to be able to get him. The problem comes in is that we've had hundreds of years of evolution of the law. Now we have a constitution and a Bill of Rights, which protects citizens and such. And we're starting to enact some legislation which undoes some of those protections
right.
in the name of quote-unquote safety.
Right.
And I think there are a couple instances when we've kind of taken it too far. I mean, the airplane thing is just so out of hand. There's lines and everything. And you got to figure, I mean, they searched the shoe bomber's shoes before he got on
and
the plane.
And still didn't.
Didn't find nothing. And, you
hey,
know,
those are some nice shoes, yeah.
I like that move padding along. You got
yeah.
in there.
Man, move along. Yeah.
What's this? What's this insole?
Gel insole. Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
is that ticking?
A match and a striking strip. Man, that's some hip shoes, man.
Yeah.
Are these from P. Diddy's new line?
Yeah, we've given up those right. We knew it at the time. It's
well, look, this goes way back. This is almost without saying on this show, and that is Ben Franklin or somebody said, those that want will trade safety for security deserve neither, essentially.
Right.
That, look, this is old line libertarian. What I've said before and will say again is that in a truly free society, there's a price to be paid in some instances. And if you think that the government, quote unquote, I mean, and who is the government? That's us, is going to protect you. You're dreaming. So what you do is you let the private sector do it. And as I said in one of the other shows, as far as 9/11 was concerned, I would have told the people in the security department, I said, you're all fired, let the airlines do it. And I'll tell you, the next day, those airlines would have been safe as anything. The airlines are not going to, they're not, the pilot, I can guarantee you, the pilot ain't flying that plane unless he knows. So there would be some inconvenience, yes. Maybe if you're wearing a turban and have a dark tan, you don't get to fly that day. It's going to be a while, but the point is that the system, the market, will figure it out. As soon as you get this guy, Farkeed or whatever his name is, with his vision, now all of a sudden you have, now you're talking about the czar, the vision, somebody else is making a decision for you, one size fits all, speaking of the shoe bomber, you know one
size blows all, yeah, up, one, no problem,
one size fits all. And once you as soon as you have a law that or a regulation that applies to more than one person, somebody's it's not fitting right for one of those people. So when you have these laws or regulations that apply to tens of thousands of people, there's a goodly chunk of them that it's not good for. I mean, and personally, I'm one of those people that in some of this stuff, especially here locally, I'd like to be able to opt out. Look, I understand what you're saying, but let me, you know, count me out of this one. And you can't.
I'm getting so sick of metal detectors. I mean, in my opinion, the metal detector, those nice people that are manning the metal detectors, they will be the first ones to
get cancer.
Well, A, thwart the terrorist attack, discover the weapons, and save everybody. B,
get killed.
Die.
Right.
C, die. D, die. I mean, if they discover anything,
E, all of the above.
Right. I mean,
as the guy goes through the radar, it'll be like on the
Matrix.
Well, no, not the Matrix. I was thinking more of
what's this glowing thing you have in your pocket.
No, I was thinking more of Total Recall. When Arnold right. runs through the thing and right. his skeleton shows up with the gun.
My favorite one is when Homer goes through it. And he's like, is it a Cro-Magnon man? Hunched over like a Neanderthal.
So anyway, the guy goes through and you see, you know, sticks of dynamite strapped onto him. And like you say, the people says, that guy's got dynamite, and he gets about that far and kaboom, the place goes up.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think the only way we can eventually get ourselves out of this war on terror
is to kill them all.
Well, that's one way, but of course, okay. And we're sending out intel special ops people all over the place, I would think. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats want to collect all the fissible material, which I think is a good idea.
And they can store it right under their house.
Store it in my house if they want.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, we'd like to have some of that.
And the other thing is I think they should do Operation Bobby, which stands for Bring Our Boys Back Yesterday. And bring them in from the bases around the world, where again it was Osama bin Laden's declared reason for 9/11 was
Americans on Saudi land. All Saudi is all Holy Land in their estimation.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
yeah, pretty much. Well, it was near Mecca. Whatever.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. He considers Saudi to be all holy.
Well, of course. Let me tell you. We've already sown the seeds for a disaster in that area because the word is fairly well understood that the United States government plans to have permanent bases in Iraq. So, you know, right away...
Big mistake.
No, I agree with you. That is a big mistake. And they...
I tell you, if I had 4 bombs and I was Al-Qaeda, and I'm not trying to give anybody ideas here. I'm not going to be arrested for that. Right. Well, you set one little chumpy, tiny nuke off right next to the green space in Iraq, wherever our military base is.
The green zone.
The green zone. It blows that away. You drop another couple off in, you know, one American city, one British city in Paris or something.
Just a couple of chumpy ones.
Right. And then
old Russian bombs, you know.
People got too much stuff to worry about to go back over there to Baghdad and do anything.
Well, that's true. It's the fear thing. You remember the sniper in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, yeah. Muhammad, I mean,
Yeah, whatever. And the point is that there were like, what, 5 people killed?
More than that. 7, 9, 10,
whatever.
Something.
But the point is it was for over a month or six weeks. Or whatever it was, they held the entire area hostage. I mean, there was 1 million people that didn't go out. Because of this, what are the odds? Of course, unfortunately, when nobody was going out, the odds of your being one of them that shot suddenly skyrocketed. Yeah. So that's a bit of a problem. But I mean, if everybody had, this is the, what do you call it, Curtis, the prisoner problem. In other words, if everybody was to go out, your odds would diminish. But by the same token, you say, well, I'm going to stay home, so I won't. But everybody decided to do that, and consequently,
13 people are out. And,
13 people are out. But I mean, the point is, it disrupted the entire greater Washington, D.C. area for, like you say, for 6 weeks. So I've always said that what they could do is to float a barge, you know, up the Savannah River or something and blow away. It wouldn't even have to blow away anything, hardly. Just the fact that it would go off, trust me, it the shit would hit the fan on that one. I mean, you take out, you know, someone.
You take out Cheyenne, Wyoming or something.
Well, no, I'm talking about floating into, like, not Savannah, but some little dorpy town on the coast that's a nothing place.
Virginia Beach.
Well, yeah, okay, something like that, you know, and watch that. I'm telling you, the poop would hit the fan. If you think that we've lost freedoms at this point, it'd be lockdown. It'd be absolute
See,
lockdown.
That's what I'm afraid of, because that's the wrong
approach. That's why we want to make sure that we have got a way out of here. You know, you have got enough traveler's checks and an ATM or whatever the hell it is so you can get out of Dodge and your passport's up to date.
Right. Well, I don't think it has as much to do with the Americans on a holy land soil as it really has to do with the fact that Osama personally lost several million dollars in the BCCI scandal that took place in the 90s. And from that point on, he said, screw them, I'm going to do it. And where did he blow? He hit the towers. Where was BCCI's headquarters? In the tower. In one of the towers. I mean, this is too... It was just too clear for me.
You sure this wasn't behind the grassy knoll?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I wonder. I don't know. I'm
pretty sure you can track down how much... You can track down that.
A couple of million bucks wouldn't have meant...
He's got $100 million.
Yeah, more. No, these guys don't do things for money. Money is not the issue.
Well,
it's
you just
face.
Said he did.
Yeah. No. It's face. He lost a lot of face. He got screwed by somebody, some American.
I wouldn't worry about that. Look, what Curtis said, though, I think was a point, and that
he's
is that we have... We've got bases in 146 countries or whatever, and as you say... I'm not sure we need a base in Kwajalein or, you know, or right. even in South Korea, for God's sake, asking for trouble.
It's stupid.
So a lot of those places, you could basically close them up. It's like the base closings that they have.
How about this? The first time the Mexican army ever came into the United States since 1848 was last week for Katrina relief.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they did not allow them to bring guns in, but I mean, it was the Mexican army the first time they crossed U.S.
And I heard they brought some supplies, man.
Let's
go to Mississippi.
They said, man, I heard.
Wait a minute.
Somebody called from New Orleans, man. They were like, all panicky, man. We figured you out supplies.
So we got a couple of trucks from Michoacan.
So you mean we got a chance to make some money, and they're going to let us in. They're not going to inspect this time.
We put aid on all of our trucks, huh?
Aid, man. We're bringing aid, man. That's what we're bringing.
Hey, we're going to keep doing this like every day, man.
When's the next hurricane, man?
Hey, man, like, when are you guys having your next hurricane?
We'll be waiting at the border, man.
Yeah, man, we're all backed up, man. We're ready to go. I'm bringing supplies.
That's it.
Yeah, I loved it. They were bringing us Mexican water.
No way. Oh, that's true.
You just can't laugh at my jokes, can you, Jimmy?
No. Well, and
you can't give yourself over to
Well, you see, they are all bread, so we're bringing all this flour, too.
We're bringing Mexican water into the U.S. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Hey, man, and we brought plenty of toilet paper, too, man.
For every bottle of water, 50 rolls of toilet paper.
50 rolls, man.
Made from cactus.
Toilet paper, man.
Ache sent $25,000. Ache, the tsunami victim, you know, the city that was hit.
Banda Ache.
Banda Ache sent 25 grand.
Yeah, well
it's our money, of course, but right, it was very nice when we sent again. It back. Rolls of those worthless coins they use. Huh?
No, I'm saying, I mean, literally, I was kind of surprised. You know who gave the most money? I got a great one. You know who gave the most money of any international company?
Walmart.
Kuwait.
Nice.
$500 million.
No, come on, you're lying to me.
No.
He's right, I think
$500 million.
I didn't read that anyplace. Where'd you read that?
AOL, man. America Online, man.
Oh, well, then, there you are.
One of our sponsors.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely, man. I mean, like everybody else would give him, like, you know, a million or a half a million. $500 million from Kuwait City.
Well, they got, that's some of our, some of our oil money coming back.
Exactly.
That's all they do.
I mean, basically,
it's a recycling.
Right, it's recycling, right.
You know, of course.
It's laundering money. That's what they've been waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Laundering it.
Laundering it. Oh, no. Nice.
Yeah, it was interesting that it came back it came up wrapped up in rubber bands. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like anybody wrote a check. Oh, it came on a truck.
Ones and fives.
Tie-dye t-shirts.
Ones and fives.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, you kind of wonder where that money came from. And, of course, the question is, who's going to distribute that money? We talked about that.
Very qualified.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And you think about it.
It might be Barack Obama.
You think about it. That's half a billion dollars from Kuwait. They're by far and away the largest donor. We're talking about a $60 to $100 billion, you know, remodeling.
Well, they've already
who's going to do the money, man? Who's going to dole it out?
Well,
right?
That's the scary part.
It's horrific.
Yeah,
it's horrific.
Well, considering how many people defraud, you know, the organizations that are helping after these tragedies, whatever. I say we just go get a truck and head over there, go stand in a pile of rubble and say, "It used to be my house. I need some money."
Well, they're going to do that. Of course, that was the same thing that they did. I remember when after 9/11.
People who said, you know, got money for their family by, you know, staying out of the way. They were dead.
They said one of the things that they figured out was that the people were saying that they'd been hurt on a bus. And it turned out that the bus that day ran empty. And there were like 11 people that showed up that said, you know, with neck braces and said that they needed to have something. And they found out that bus didn't even run that day. Something along those lines. That always happens. Again, look, there's going to be slop any place. So it happens. But again, I as we've said before, and I think we can probably end on this, the private sector is going to do far and away the best job on this. And for somebody to count on somebody's vision.
SARS vision, yes.
Well, again, it boils down to the difference between a command and control economy and a free market economy. And we have the history. Command and control has never worked, never, in 2,000 years of recorded history that we know that people have tried it. And the free market has always worked. So
the free market has to work. I mean, it's the only thing that's been consistent throughout the eons of time.
That's why it works. It's because it's the central command control thing.
I mean, and that's the freaking liberals do not get, man. It's like it's always been around, people. You know, your governments can change and go, your kings and queens can come and go, but you know what? You know what's always there and has always been there is the free market system.
Well, it underlies everything. It's interesting because when the free market is suppressed, you know what they call it when it's suppressed? They call it the black market. And of course, that's really the free market. And there are
places. That's racist, Jimmy.
That's true.
Race the multicolored market.
I'm calling a spade here.
He said it. Thank you.
It's interesting because there are more regimes than you care to count that have been supported by the black market, and they've basically let it go more or less. It's corruption to a large extent, but they've let it go because they realized that their empire, their command and control empire, would collapse without the satisfaction that's provided on a basic level by the black market, which is the free market. I think it should be called the white market myself. But again, not to be racist.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well, I mean, white is good, right? I mean, it's, you know, white dresses, virgin, something.
When have you seen
that? Yeah, that's exactly
we live
right.
in a university town.
Why don't we get on out here? Don't forget to send us an email, Jimmy.
Please do. And thank you so much for the listeners that have actually sent us like Larry Clark.
Oh, last trip?
Last trip, Larry actually sent us a bunch of great suggestions for our site. I want to make a little, shout out to him and anybody else who wants to, like, you know, help us out, man. You know, let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what you like, you know, let us know, man.
What's that email address?
The email address is jimmy@jimmydone.com. And that's Jimmy Doane with an E on the end.
JIMMYDOANE.com.
And also, don't forget, we should be listed on most of the pod. I don't know if you came here through the podcasting or Podcast Alley or Podcast News or Idiot Box.
Podcast.net. Podcast Pickle.
Oh, yeah. Podcast Pickle. Boy, what a name. So we'll see ya. We might miss a show next week, but we'll be back. And let us know what you think. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Jimmy Sam.
America.
Love you, America.
Love you, America.
We should play the Star-Spangled Banner now.
Yeah, right?
Here we go.